Today we continue to talk about Hosea, and now the book of Hosea is actually a book of love. A lot of people think of love as feeling, especially romantic feeling, and a lot of people think of love as erotic feeling. I think it's 2 or 3 years ago, there was a book, it's called 50 Shades of Grey, and it was made as a movie, and all the film critics considered this movie is a crap. It's crap. But think about it. 2 sequels has been planned. Why? Usually, when a movie flop, there will be no sequels. But how come there's still 2 sequels planned? Because, well, we want to watch movie because we can echo with the movie. We can echo with the characters there. And so it's obviously the movie maker believed a lot of people will echo with 50 Shades of Grey's kind of feeling. Now, other people think of love as relations between 2 compatible people. They are in agreement all the time, and nobody needs to back down at all time because they are compatible. What I think is what you think is what I think all the time, okay? And of course, soon they find it's not true. There's no need for compromise, and there's no need to back down because I am always right, and the other half will always agree with me. If there is an disagreement, the other half will automatically change lane and let me cruise. There are other kinds of people who has a very idealistic idea. A couple can always talk it over and things will be all right. Everything can be talked over with communication. Everything will be taken care of. And also, there are other people who believe there's no truth in there's no truth, just talk and communication will solve every problem. Some would even say love is not about truth or fact. But our God has a very different idea of love. At the beginning of Hosea, God asked Hosea to love somebody who is not worthy of love. That's verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. In the third chapter, God asked Hosea a second time to love the even more unworthy of love woman again. That's chapter 3, verse 1. These 3 chapters set the tone of what is love. If we read the first 3 chapters enough, we can actually see the plain message of Hosea, the book. As we read the book like Hosea, usually it's kind of difficult because a lot of time it's very disjointed because they are all the oracles, they are speeches here and there. But again, if we have read it enough, usually we can find what unite the book, even the book as difficult as Hosea. Usually a few times will do, if not 10 times usually do the trick. So you find Hosea very difficult to understand, read it some more time, and you will find it is true. Chapter 11 here is to reiterate this whole idea of loving the unworthy time and again. Hosea has time and time again warned the Israelites to listen to God's command. Accept the punishment of domination by Assyria. We all know that the Israelites have sinned against God. They have worshipped idols. That's why God punished them. So God has sent Assyria to dominate, appoint Israel. So somehow they have to pay tribute to Assyria every year, every half a year. But that comes to the time of Hosea. Hosea and Hosea is only a one character difference. It's H-O-S-E-A and H-O-S-H-E-A. So somehow the false prophets, for their own benefit, which we are not so sure, advised the king at that time, Hoshea, to revolt. They believe they are getting help from Baal, the idols. Actually, the Silver Age has long gone. The Silver Age of Jeroboam II has long gone. They have been seized by Assyria once, but somehow, at that time, they agree to God. God said, I punish you with Assyria. So they submit to Assyria at one time, and everything has kind of eased. So they are feeling that, okay, we are getting better. The Baal has actually helped us. So Hoshea was, but then, and they are having some breathing room. They actually think that they are becoming strong again. Hoshea was so blinded that they were getting help from Baal instead of from God, and he decided to team up with Egypt to revolt. At this time, Hosea preached chapter 10 and chapter 11 against Israel to warn them. Coming to the end of Hosea, the tone is changed, and that is chapter 11. Instead of the fiery judgment, the tone is completely changed. The whole passage is almost like God's monologue. If you read chapter 11, 1 to 11, long enough, you find out, gee, this is a God's monologue. In the first four verses, God again reiterates history. God is talking about history again. He is talking about how he brought Israel from Egypt again. Was it that God is an old man, just keep repeating the old story? Because our image of God is always the great old man with a long white beard, right? That's how we learn from Sunday school. Old people tend to do it. They always talk about the history. They talk about their past, right? I have one favorite friend who always tells his son, when I was your age, you are playing games. I was working on the truck. But that's old man, right? Isn't it? God is like an old man whenever he comes to Israelites and he, okay, let's talk about what I have done for you. No, that is not the case. God was reiterating his own commitment to his people. God is actually telling his people, this is what I have done for you. This is my commitment. That's something I have done for you. Right from the beginning, God brought the Israelites from Egypt. That's chapter 11, verse 1. Let's turn to chapter 11, verse 1. That was more than 700 years ago. To keep you awake, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. God called Israel as his son out of Egypt. And this is verse 1. And then we turn to, and he is going to do it again. That's verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt, and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. God is reminding the Israelites that they will be brought out from Egypt again, though in a very different context. Nevertheless, God will help them again. At the very beginning of the passage, God called his people from Egypt. At the end, God called his people from Egypt again. From beginning to end, God's love has not changed a bit. Egypt represents the land of slavery. Egypt represents the land of sins. That was the place the Israelites need help, need salvation. God will time and time again to bring Israelites back. Why would the Israelites end up in Egypt? Because they have sinned. Because they have betrayed God. They have disobeyed God. God asked the Israelites, stay and subject to the dominion of the Assyrians. But they fled. They team up with Egypt. They went to Egypt. And God has to save them from Egypt one more time. God save us from slavery of other sins, and at the end, He will again save us from our own sins. Why did He do that? Nothing more, nothing less. It is all because He loves us. Comparing with chapter 1 to 3, this is exactly the same scenario. Maybe we can examine what kind of love it is as God sees it. For a fact, God has made a covenant with us. Again and again, Hosea refers to this covenant, a covenant made through the forefathers from Abraham to Moses. This covenant bound God to be good to Israelites. However, this covenant is not the only reason God returned again and again to save. God said in verse 8, let's turn to verse 8, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I hand you over, O Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. Verse 8 is the reason. Now, verse 8 shows a lot of emotion, a lot of feelings from God. This is actually a verse that shows us the kind of feelings towards human. There is a love that binds God to us. A love grows out from His covenant with Israelites. We do not know where comes first. Love first or the covenant first. But covenant and love cannot be taken out from each other. It is a covenant and it is love. This is a very different idea from modern-day love. The most common reason for divorce today, do you know what it is? Usually when they file the paper, there's a reason to divorce. Incompatibility. Incompatibility. That is the most cited reason. However, I do not believe in compatibility. God and man is never compatible. Are we compatible with God? God is holy and man is sinful, including woman. How compatible that can be? The holy God and the sinful man. When man always wants to sin and want to find a way to sin, how compatible it can be with God? God is almighty. That's Genesis 17:1. It said, El Shaddai, God is almighty. But human is so helpless. One of the most brilliant minds in the world, Stephen Hawking. We believe Stephen Hawking is the most brilliant mind comparable with Einstein. But what did he say? He is not a believer, but he said the same thing. I can understand the whole universe, but I do not understand woman. Right? But woman is everywhere, okay? We see them, we touch them, they are everywhere. Okay? Every one of us cannot get away from women in our lives. From the day we were conceived, we got in touch with women, right? But Stephen Hawking said, I can understand the whole universe, but I cannot understand women. We are very helpless in many ways. There are a lot of things we do not know, we do not understand. And so I believe God is almighty, but human is so helpless. How compatible that can be. God is so loving, but human is so hateful. On and on I can continue. Love is not about compatibility. Love is about incompatible yet committed. God has committed to love and he just don't give up. Gomer can betray Hosea, but Hosea did not give up. Israelites betray God, and God never gives up. Love is a commitment, not fleeting feelings. Feeling is not reliable. Feeling is very true, it is very real, but it is not reliable. Because feelings can change 1,000 times a day. Our feelings change in an instant. I woke up early, and my wife woke up early this morning, so we have plenty of time to get ourselves ready to come to church. So we actually get out of house in time, and I was figuring out usually on Sunday 20 minutes will get me to church. Okay. Yes, today I can actually because I know the marathon route. I know where to go. Actually, I am all prepared. I was in really good mood, okay, and I was traveling down Kingsway and turn west on 12 West 12, and as you know, 12th Avenue on Sunday usually the right lane is not. You can park on the right lane. So I am a pretty decent driver. So decent in a sense that I don't want to clog up the road. So I took the left lane obediently and courteously. But you always know there's somebody who wants to travel on the right lane, knowing that it will be blocked soon and try to cut you at the last not minute, second. There was a little Fiat driving on my right, and I was driving, and he has just the front bumper in front of me, but he cut anyway, because his road is going to be blocked in one car's distance. So in an instant, I was angry, right? In an instant, I was angry, see? So, I was feeling great, right? Just a moment ago, and in a moment, I was so angry. And of course, now I can laugh at myself, right? How can you ruin your morning like that? So, I'm fine now. Feelings just come like this. Okay? Feelings are fleeting. They are real. They are very real. But love has feeling, but it's not only feeling. From verse 8, we know God is expressing his feeling towards human beings. How can I give up on you, Israel? How can I give up on you? My compassion grows warm and tender. This is words of emotion. But feeling is still fleeting. We cannot rely on it. Because there's much more than that. Love is commitment armed with truth. God is not unaware of his own love and his wrath. God's love is shown in the midst of truth. We sin and God judged. We sin and God punished. This is truth. With the fact known, we repent and God's love kicks in. God did not invent divorce. We, human, invented divorce. However, God invented father and son relationship. Father and son relationship cannot be divorced. What about one day? I was really angry with Adriel, and I tell Adriel, I want to disown you. Okay, fine, okay. Adriel said, fine, disown me, okay. And what can I do? Can I really disown him? No. And it's okay, I will take one more step, okay. I want to disown you. Not that I won't give you my estate. As a matter of fact, I don't have much. He doesn't care. Okay, but I want to disown you. Return your DNA to me. Can I do that? No. I cannot ask Adriel, return your DNA. Let's separate your DNA from my DNA. You just get your mom's, okay? I'll save my own. God invented and he created a father and son relationship. In Genesis 1, all God wants us to know, the Bible just wants us to know, God is the Father and we are his children. Adam and Eve begot Seth in his own image. That's chapter 3. And in chapter 1, God created us in his image. This is what it is all about. Image is what it is all about. A father and children relationship. From the beginning, God said, I am your father. And in verse 1 here, it said, I call you out as my son. From Egypt, as my son. This is not some, a son cannot be totally disowned. And for this is a fact. Love is a fact. We cannot divorce the fact from our lives. So this is the commitment God has with us. But I think we have to uphold this very truth. Without the truth, there is no true love. God uphold his truth. God did not spare us punishment when we sin. At the same time, his love also never gives up. There was a saying, it is called the two principles to treat your wife. Okay? The first principle is the wife is always right. Right? You heard about it, right? So, principle two. When she were wrong, refer to principle number one. Have you heard about it? But it is a joke. And let it remain a joke. Because without truth, there can be no true love. Can we always stay away from truth and expect there's love? No. God is not like human. We would not have loved like God without God teaching us, without God telling us what true love is all about. Now, love has feeling. Love has romantic feeling. Love can has erotic feeling. Love can has all kinds of things we can describe. But above all, if we want love to work, love got to be a commitment first. I am committed to love. This is the only way to preserve love, and this is the only way to show love. God said, I will never leave you because I love you. So, love you and never leave you is equivalent. Like the parents and the children, why would a parent always love the children? Because there's something that cannot separate them. There's a commitment there. Now, of course, there's always exception in this world. But let's talk about ordinary, normal circumstances. Or what it should be. God has his own way. This is not our way. This is not what our human can think about. But this way should be the way. And we are called to love like God. And Hosea is about love. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for your love towards us. This is an unyielding, unfading, and ever-present love from you. We thank you because you are always there for us. When we sin, you always come back and deliver us from our Egypt again and again, for you cannot forsake us. You cannot forget us. In your heart always grow tender and warm towards us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.